Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Red Men TV, the season. Oh, my God. It's been 3 months. We're back. We're back. Liverpool are playing Everton in the Merseyside Derby. Football, the mighty Reds, Jurgen Klopp, Mo Salah, Virgil van Dijk, being able to be interested in televised football again. And not, we can stop pretending we like the Bundesliga. It's amazing. Yeah, Liverpool, Everton, it's the build-up show. We're back for it. I'm very excited. We're joined by, look, I have to say, I think we've got the A-team with us here today. First and foremost, of course, my partner in crime, the wonderful, the exceptional Mr. Chris Pajak. Chris, how you doing?
Mate, I didn't pretend that I liked the Bundesliga, so I'm slightly different here. But I am so excited for football. I mean, I actually watched the City-Arsenal game last night. I enjoyed it. It's the first time I spoke to my dad since lockdown, while the footy's been on. I've got something to talk to about again, which is fantastic. I had a bottle of wine. I enjoyed myself, and it was brilliant just watching footy again. I'm not even bothered by crowd noises or no crowd noises. You're not sucking me into that argument for the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to watch the Premier League. Yeah. That's all that matters to me right now. Yeah. I'm slightly concerned that Steve's mic's muted, so when you do go over to him, whether he'll be able to talk or not. Well, but, Paul, I'm sure he'll have sorted that out now that I've given him the heads up.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, just in case, I'll come to the next guest, of course, my dad, Mr. John Machin. Dad, I guess all of the above, really. We've had a good go at liking whatever football's been available to us, but there's nothing quite like seeing not just Premier League, but also the mighty Reds.
It's true. I mean, I did dabble in the Bundesliga, but I very quickly realised that it was boring. If you weren't actually invested in what was going on, boring. So I got stuck into last night's stuff, and brilliant, what a controversy right away. Yeah. You've got a ref on the pitch, you've got VAR, and you've got goal line technology, and they still can't get it right. It's absolutely brilliant.
The beauty of football.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
Yeah. For as much as it's going to be a different beast, what we're about to see, it's football as we know it. Steve Hoare, yes, unmuted and with us and looking fine. Steve, yeah, this is it. This is what we're back into already. It's happening. There's just talking points in different things to discuss, and not like, oh, will it come back? Will it go to points per game? Will it be voided? No, there's football, actual football.
It's been a long time coming, hasn't it, mate? I don't think I've ever gone over 100 days without ever watching a Liverpool match since, as far as I can remember. It's been such a long time, and it's going to be amazing. Like I say, I did watch quite a lot of the Bundesliga just because, I don't know, I just needed something to gamble on, if I'm honest. yeah, I did do that. Never bet against Bayern Munich, you'll lose all your money. That's what I learned. But
yeah, we're not talking about gambling after that bloody goal wasn't allowed. Mine went down in a few minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's it. Thankfully, I didn't have no money on that one. But yeah, listen, mate, at the end of the day, you know, for everything that's going on in the world, and it's been tough on the whole, 6 billion people, this has been really, really hard on. And to get a bit of light relief and something that we can get, emotionally invested in once again is, I think it is important. Like I say, it's the least important of the most important things, or vice versa, the most important of the least important things. But it's just going to be great to watch, watch Liverpool again and watch a game, like John said before, where a care if a goal goes in other than if it's going to cost me a tenner. You know what I mean? I'm actually invested in the outcome of these games. And even watching Arsenal v Man City, it was like, this is familiar. I remember wanting to watch Man City lose every week and then them not losing every week. This is it's a little bit of normality again. And watching a derby is just going to be the icing on the cake for getting this all kickstarted and back rolling again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it, because obviously we now know from the City Arsenal game, I guess a lot of people tuned in because it was what it was and it had a tangible impact on Liverpool's season. We know that the lead at the top of the table has been cut to 22 points.
Panic stations.
Let's not count our chickens just yet. I mean, look, more than anything, Chris, there's going to be a palpable sense of relief from Merseyside, the blue half of Merseyside anyway, that they can enjoy their lockdown up until kickoff, because at least they know that the worst that can happen to them on Monday is that they can lose. They're not gonna see Liverpool win the title at Goodison Park.
Yeah, unfortunately, they wouldn't have been able to see it, up close and personal anyway. But look, I think, the blue half of Merseyside right now is quite happy with that fact, obviously. I think I was watching the City game last night, lads, and I was reminded that the night before I did a show with the LFC Day Trippers, and one of the questions we got asked was, like, how have you dealt with this lack of football and all that? And I think I've not dealt with it very well. But then the follow-up question was, like, how would you have dealt with it if Liverpool were only 1 point ahead of Man City? And that nearly sent me into a nervous breakdown, thinking about what would have... I mean, imagine leading the Premier League all season, then a 3 month gap, and then coming back, City beat Arsenal in the first game, and you're not top of the Premier League with a derby to go. And again, and I'm just thinking, thank goodness for that 22 points. But just to circle back to the start, Paul, the fact that we get to see these players again, these lads, and yeah. I know just by having watched that Manchester City Arsenal game and how much better prepared I thought City were for coming back than Arsenal, it's what I've thought about Liverpool. It's what I've thought Liverpool will do. And they need to go out there and prove it on the pitch now. But we'll be ready. Yeah. We'll be so much more better prepared than most of the teams in the league. So I think in 2 games' time, we will be Premier League champions.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. And I mean, Dad, this is what it is. We're at this stage of the season now. We're all getting geared up for it, whatever it might look like. You know, we've still got to get across the line. And I think Chris is right about these lads. If this was any other Liverpool team in previous eras, you might still be, I mean, they wouldn't have gotten a 22-point lead, to be fair. But also, it feels like, you know, the Liverpool that's coming back is an elite team that's coming back here. You know, you've seen how Bayern Munich have handled the return. You've seen how City have handled the return. If there's a team to bank on handling it as well, it's definitely Liverpool.
I'd sort of forgotten how good we were. Mm-hmm. I sort of put football out of my mind until quite recently. And then when I knew it was coming back, I started thinking, oh, bloody Derby game first, that's tough, isn't it? You know, Palace were the last team to beat us at Anfield. And then we beat Blackburn 6-0. I thought, oh, God, I've forgotten how brilliant we are.
It's true, isn't it? The thing for me is that I don't even know. We could look at Man City made some changes, didn't they? You know, like they had Garcia at centre half. And obviously Arsenal made mad sweeping changes. It makes you wonder as well.
It was so Arsenal that there wasn't it. Oh, an hour before kickoff, any sliver of hope that you had that they might get something, you looked at the team and went, who? Oh, fucking hell, Arteta. Well, you're done. Having a laugh, like.
Yeah, well done, Mikel.
And then you knew it was over when David Luiz come on.
It was incredible. We will talk about that. I think it's worth talking about in a bit. But it's interesting, isn't it, Dad, that you know you referenced the Blackburn game. Seeing the likes of Minamino, seeing the likes of Keita, you know, and how well they performed. They performed in the snippets we've seen of them in the pseudo pre-season. The odds are Liverpool will just come back as we expect, but there's a chance that we might actually see. It's exciting because there's going to be some unknowns about what we see is what I'm kind of
getting. Yeah, well, the five subs thing is going to make a big difference in terms of who we see on the pitch, because I think Minamino and Keita will definitely play some part of the game because we've got that option to bring on it. I mean, I noticed last night City had five subs and ended up with 10 men because they used them all up when Garcia got clobbered.
Yeah.
How daft is that?
Yeah.
Got five subs and they, Leroy Sané still doesn't get on the pitch. That I think that just goes to show. No, and I think Liverpool are in a similar boat, Paul. Is that, you know, our squad depth, you're looking at your numbers 16, 17, 18 in your squads, and I think that's a huge benefit for Liverpool in all of these games, you know, and obviously Man City as well, is that your 16th best lad would probably start for every other Premier League team, you know what I mean? Whereas we're going to be able to bring them on a, you know, fifth sub with whatever minutes to go.
Yeah.
I think that's why, I think that is really significant, and I think that is a big boost for all the top teams, really. If you're looking at, you know, the lads Aston Villa brought on yesterday, you know, fifth change or whatever, and then you're looking at, you know, Man City can just rock Phil Foden up. There is a difference there, you know, and I think that'll be the same for us. Is that it might be Keita, it might be Minamino, it might be Origi. Whereas Everton are bringing up, probably Everton's 16th player is probably a young lad at the minute because they've got injuries and stuff like that. It is really significant. I think that's going to help the teams at the top a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. I think that's it. Because you're right, there's plenty of lads. I think we're all excited to see a bit more of the likes of Harvey Elliott and Nico Williams, etc. But realistically, this just, as we said, means there's more likely game time for some of the lads who are, I think, who are geared up, stay to be next season's players. You know, it's daft, but this is an opportunity. Minamino's he's had an okay, it's only been via Skype for a lot of this, but he's had a bit more chance to acclimatise. He's had a bit more chance to get to know the squad in some regards, and then he's come back in, he's had a few training games to whatever to get him up to speed. And then sorry, but I probably won't even be on screen, but seeing Chris dealing with his kids is a stark reminder that we're not quite back to where we're at. But you know, there's that's a kind of, you've got, I think there's going to be, not only have we got quality, but I think there's going to be a real hunger there, because this is an opportunity for Minamino, for Keita, and then beyond that for Curtis Jones, etc., to go, well, whenever I get my opportunity here, I'm putting myself in front of Jurgen Klopp for next season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the young lads there. I think if you're going to see the young lads play, it's probably going to be a time where hopefully Liverpool are, you know, 3-0 up with 20 to go, and then you think, well, rather than giving Origi these 20 minutes, because what are we going to get from that? Let's give it to Harvey Elliott, or let's give it to Curtis Jones, or whoever they decide to put on the bench, because there's obviously more subs and stuff. But yeah, like I say, if I was someone like Origi, or, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain or Naby Keita, who probably, these are the lads who are looking to get themselves first choice in the team, and it's going to be hard for the lads at the top of the pitch. But I don't think the midfielders are nailed on where, like, for example, Keita could easily be Liverpool's first choice midfield next season if he has, you know, 5, 6, 7 games at the end of the season where he really, really turns on and stays fit. Mm-hmm. Someone like him, like someone like a Chamberlain, someone like a Minamino, who could just, you know, go, we mentioned Oxlade-Chamberlain there, or Fabinho, slower start, settles in, and then all of a sudden he's just banging into form. And all, like, you know, with Fabinho, we went from a lad who we were unsure about to one of the best defensive midfielders in Europe, and that's the challenge, isn't it? What I like about Klopp is that it very much is a meritocracy. He'll give you all the time in the world to get your games, but then, and then if you keep your place, you'll keep your place. It doesn't matter who's in your way. He was happy to move Jordan Henderson to facilitate Fabinho.
Yeah,
and I think there's a definite, if I was one of those lads who, like you mentioned, on the fringes, this is a huge opportunity for them in a relatively stress-free environments, you know, all being well, we're not going to go 8 games up winning one of them. So all being well, the title should be wrapped up by the end of June. And then they've got a month's worth of footy where they can just absolutely lay down a marker and say to these other lads, you know, next season I'm having that start and rolling in a more competitive environment.
Chris. I think one of the things that I find quite interesting, obviously, I think a lot of people have spoken about how the young lads are going to get minutes, myself included, over the last couple of months and stuff. But I actually think there's an opportunity there to gain an in-game advantage with the use of the 5 substitutes. So what we've seen so far with Jurgen Klopp as Liverpool manager and most managers is that 60-minute mark. Who's to say it's not 2 subs at 45? You know, and really, like, actually look to get a leg up on the opposition right then and there when the lads are coming out. They're quite, you know, they're not quite warm for that second half yet. You maybe bring someone on with fresh legs then and there, and you look to capitalise on that 45 to 60 minute mark instead. And maybe you do go in there and go, all right, lads, take a bit more of a pre-season approach to a couple of positions, and go, right, we know we've only had 3 weeks of pre-season training so far, so in these early games, Wijnaldum, Henderson, we know how much running you guys do in the middle. Second half, first half, it's going to be Wijnaldum plus Ox. Second half, it's going to be Henderson plus Keita. And would we see something like that? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, look, that on paper to me sounds like you could get an advantage against the opposition by using your 5 subs differently and just thinking differently about the use of those 5 subs.
100%. I mean, again, it's these are the changes. This is the exciting thing about it, is there's a lot of unknowns around this and like in how the Liverpool approach things. You know, saying that, there's a chance that like we could see something radical. You know, I've been saying, for you look at Naby Keita as an example of this. I think there's a lot of expectation that it'll probably just be Fabinho, Henderson, Wijnaldum, or maybe, you know, you maybe bring Ox in and put Henderson back into the six or whatever. But we could pull something mad. Well, this could be Klopp's next season.
Case is probably different because I suspect that Klopp really, really wants him to be our first choice.
Yeah.
And I think he'll give him every opportunity. What's interesting for me is that in the early 80s, when we tied up the league with about seven games to go, we then promptly lost six of the next seven games
because we didn't need to
win them. Didn't need to win them, wasn't a problem. And the messages I've heard from the club are that we want to go out and break records and we want to be at the top of our game throughout the rest of the season. But the five subs does give you the option of not just killing all your best players over the next couple of months, but, you know, mix it up. And we're quite capable of doing that. I think we've got the squad.
I think
the other thing is, sorry, Paul, the other thing that you know, we've heard over the last week is that Klopp's actually not built them up for, you know, these next 3 to 4 weeks. He's built them up for this plus next season, which is quite interesting from a sports science point of view, which says to me that, you know, we're not going to see, if that's the case and if that's true and what we're hearing is true, then we're not going to see loads and loads of rotation after we wrap the league up, because he believes, and I think this is right, is this Liverpool side plays better with momentum. When they're playing two games a week and they're winning and not much is changing, that's when we're at our absolute best. So that's what he'll want to do. And with 3 weeks in between the seasons or whatever, he'll almost want that to just carry on. Yeah. And you never know, within 12 games, you could be another 10 points ahead next season.
Yeah.
Because you've just carried on and taken that approach rather than brought it down and tried to bring it back up slowly.
I agree in so much as I don't think that means we won't see, because of the sub situation, we might not see a bit more game time for some of the young lads, certainly. But I agree in that. I don't think it fits Jurgen Klopp's mentality in any way, shape or form, and how he's constructed this. I'd imagine if you said all of a sudden, these next five games don't really matter, lads. Like, that's not the whole premise of everything Liverpool is constructed on under him falls apart. If you feel that a game of football has less value, these lads go into training games and play them. You know, there was those videos in the build up to, I don't even know what it was. It was around January, wasn't it? And they had that, like, it was Ox and Trent, and they were booting balls at each other, like going intense, and Klopp's going, it's a rest day. It's like it's meant to be a recovery day, you idiots. Like, calm down. And like that, because
But they've just had the longest break they've ever had in their footballing careers, haven't they? Yeah. They've probably had nothing like it before.
Yeah,
it was the longest. It was the longest gap in between red cards for David Luiz of his career.
but yeah, this, I think the point, Dad, the Chris is making, I think is a valid one. And like Klopp, because it shouldn't be forgotten, because we have almost detached this from the main season. We were on course for a record-breaking point haul, and there's a chance that we'll never come near that again. And I think, while it's, you know, look, if Liverpool lose a couple of games, maybe it changes maybe it does change the outlook slightly, because there's less pressure to finish. You know, if you're going to finish on a lower points tally than you got when you finished second, maybe you do just think, okay, well, let's plan something else around this. But I think Liverpool's game plan will be hinged upon saying we pick up where we left off, and the plan is to finish the season how we always intended to finish it.
I think they want to start strong, you know, mm-hmm. and I think the aim will be to blow Everton out the water, Palace out the water, and keep going.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a question of how much he sees the final games as an opportunity to give game time to some of the others, particularly Minamino. I mean, he's very new at the club. You know, he must have settled in by now, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the points total thing will be massive for Klopp and his team and all the players. You know, it's like you mentioned before. This is unprecedented what we've just done. You know, Man City got 100 points 2 years ago, and we're on course. As it stands, Liverpool win every game, they could get 109 points, which is just, it's absurd that you think about it. And listen, no matter what happens next season, I doubt we'll ever see this again. You know, for numerous reasons, So when you've got history there and you can go and get it, I think it'd be huge for them to go, you know what, not only can we win the league, and there has been a certain gloss taken off it perhaps, and obviously our supporters aren't going to be there, but if we can nail down being the greatest team in terms of points that has ever existed in this country, I mean, that must be, it's got to be a huge motivation, and given that they're not knackered, they're not getting to the end of a season where, you know, the legs run out, they haven't got the cup competitions to focus on because unfortunately we're out of those. You've got to have something to be aiming for. I think it'll be massive. I think it'll be all guns blazing for it.
Sorry, lads. I agree. I think there's a degree to which if people are determined to put an asterisk next to this title, you might as well go and break the points total so that you know what I mean. Because if you end up on finishing the season on an 86 points or 90 points, you're right. Everything in your power to kind of say, well, look, we're just following
just
what we're doing.
The best ever, doesn't it?
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? I see if anyone agrees with this. This is a battle this season. This is part of the war. Now, you come back and battle resumes, right? And let's say Manchester City score as many points as us. Let's say we throw the last six games, right? And Man City outscore us by 12 points. They've got a three-week gap and their mentality is we were better than Liverpool. You come back, you put your foot back on their throat, you continue to pile on the pressure onto Manchester City and you go, fucking hell, they're still the same Liverpool side. Three-week gap, new season starts, you do it again, and they're mentally broken. You cannot afford to let anyone off the hook at this point. That's why you go and break the points record.
Yeah.
So that you're putting yourself in a better position to win the war.
Well, you just carry it on, because that's what this season was. This season was we broke the points record for the second, the highest points record for a second place side, and we just carried on. You know, we won the Champions League and then went into next season. I think you're 100% right. But again, you know, just to go back to the point, I don't think any of this means that we're not going to see more of Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones, etc. But we'll only see them.
We can bring them on a 4-0. It's fine.
Well, but even that case is Klopp's not going to use those lads if they don't have the same level of mentality. You know, if it's just lads who come in thinking they're getting the great opportunity and blah blah blah, he's only going to bring in lads who share that fierce determination to get Liverpool, you know, going in exactly the same way.
He wouldn't have signed them if he didn't, would he?
Exactly.
And here's the difference between after the break and before the break. the difference now is we're very unlikely to sign anybody. Mm-hmm. So he has to accelerate probably the progress of these youngsters. Yeah. And that will come into his factored in to whether he wants to use these lads. And if we use them, it's because I think next season he's going to need them.
Well, yeah, well, I want to talk, obviously, there's plenty of interesting things that have kind of happened around footy. I just want to quickly gauge people's thoughts on the, like you mentioned, Chris, the cup games thing. And I'll just start with stay on this. Obviously, we know the Champions League is coming back in mid-August now. We know the FA Cup starts at the start of August. Can I just say this, and this goes against all the normal arguments, and I've argued against Liverpool having an FA Cup run because I think it's a distraction. I would never say that about the Champions League, but there's also part of me that, given the way this has all panned out, there's not a single part of me that isn't made up with Liverpool having an extra month off compared to all their other big rivals.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, it's going to be interesting to watch it. You know, the Champions League being a straight World Cup shootout almost type thing, it's going to be great to see. But yeah, in terms of, like, because we're talking about next season before we've even played any games the rest of this season, is that it is that's huge. You know, we're going to have a few weeks off. Man City might get about 2 weeks off. They could feasibly win this Champions League tournament, because I think the one-legged nature of it, the away goals, the lack of intimidating away atmospheres, I do think that will help City a lot.
It's more FA Cup-like, isn't it, which they're very used to.
Yeah, it's set up.
And they'll win the FA Cup. Well, they'll win the FA Cup because you might as well throw their name on it anyway at the beginning of most years, I think. But yeah, like I say, I agree that it is a bonus for Liverpool. In a sense, listen, I would like Liverpool to still be in the Champions League. The FA Cup, it is what it is at this point, but... Yeah, the way that everything around us has changed, the whole world has changed, and you know, we're all adapting to different things. This is another thing for everyone to adapt to. And Jürgen said it best, is that as long as it was the same for everybody, you know, we all had the same breaks and we all had the same training, then I'm fine with it. Well, next year, that's not going to be the case, because Guardiola is going to have even if they get knocked out in that first round after they play Real Madrid or whatever, they've still had the travel, they've still had the extra game. It's not a level playing field, and that's a big advantage for us. Yeah. Go in that title race. So yeah, in a strange way, that could again aid Liverpool going into next season for sure.
Absolutely. Let's just focus that then on the game before we start to wrap up. And obviously, it's I think
40 minutes in.
Yeah, no, but I think it's said that I think Mo Salah missed training and what have you. You know, we probably might see a couple of little tweaks and changes to it. The big question is, Chris, because it's Liverpool versus Everton. What's the most the Ev way this game can go? Because they can't see us win the title at Goodison Park. You know, either way, you know, whether it's televised or whatever. Like, and I've even added like a weird reverse gallows humour. I want us just to continue to beat Everton forever. But there is a little part of me, a little like perverse part of the back of my brain that said, if you were ever going to lose a Merseyside derby, the fact that they couldn't actually watch it in the flesh. So they have to live with this idea that the only way they can win a derby is to not be in the ground. There's a little part of me that's had that little story ticking over in the back of my head for a week or two.
I don't know. I think... is the crowd noise, is that pumped into the stadium?
No.
I was thinking like maybe Pickford gets spooked by one of the crowd noises, like a change of song or something, and we concede like that. But if it's not actually getting in there, I wouldn't be able to tell you how badly Pickford could fuck this up. But it will be Pickford to fuck this up.
Okay, sad. So, what are your thoughts and feelings on the game then, Dad? You know, there's no such thing. I was doing the BBC at the weekend, and everyone kept referencing form this and form that. Like, there's no form.
It's gone out there. You should know this.
I never watch a derby game without a bit of a knot in my stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you get over that pretty quickly once the game starts, but not always. And this time, it's just such an unknown, because I don't know how... I've taken no interest in Everton, to be honest, while it's been off. So I've no idea who they've got, who's likely to play, who's going to be fit, who isn't. And I've no idea what Ancelotti's been up to, if he's even been in the country. I've no clue. But it's still a derby game, and I do worry, because you always know how horrible it'll be, even if they just draw.
So. Yeah,
I think, Paul, the lack of a crowd, actually, Liverpool's record that good isn't amazing. you know, we've had the odd...
16-17.
We've had the odd... Obviously, we had the 1-0s and stuff, but it hasn't been great.
We draw a lot of games at Goodison Park.
It was 2-0-0s with the last two seasons. It was like Mane's late goal after Sturridge at the post, I think, in 16-17, the last time we even scored there.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that actually plays in Liverpool's favour. Actually, you know, watching the Bundesliga over the last few weeks, it has levelled the playing field, you know, crowd, and that the better teams are just winning the games. You know, like for example, when Liverpool lost to Watford before the break, if that was in front of an empty Vicarage Road, Liverpool probably would have won that game. I think the lesser teams, or the worse off teams, or the poorer teams, whatever, it's a huge disadvantage to them. That it is now just a placky match. And the best teams tend to win them. So I think it is a disadvantage to Everton. Also, they haven't actually got that much to play for. They can't go down. They can't really go anywhere. They're just completing 9 games to, like, say, prove themselves to the new manager and bank the money that they need to bank, like everyone does. I think teams at the bottom and teams at the top who are fighting for something, I think it is a big advantage for them. And like you say, I think the fact that the Goodison crowd isn't there, because I do think personally Liverpool can be, although we're amazing, there's this tiny, tiny chink in the armour that I think sometimes they can be a little bit undone by away atmospheres or whatever,
Yeah, Old Trafford and Goodison have both been...
You guys went to Belgrade, didn't you? Was it a few years ago? And that they were crap. And it was just an intense atmosphere, and Liverpool just didn't handle it very well. So
yeah. And we played Vallada and Sturridge in the team. Yeah.
It was also probably the most hostile atmosphere I've ever been in.
Yeah.
By 20 miles.
That's normal. Listen, Man City have rocked up at Anfield and they bottle it every time, and I think it is partly crowd as well. So I think that is a big difference in this Goodison derby, and as much as we laugh at Everton, it does get intense in there. You know, they win a corner and they celebrate. I wonder if that the man on Sky Sports. I wonder if the guy's got the button ready to do the cheer when they win a throw in or something, or the corner. Well, any time it hits a Liverpool player in the chest, is he ready with his hand ball button?
Yeah. And a huge boo whenever Origi gets on the ball. Yeah.
They've got like robotic arms in the crowd to pat the throw and takers on the back. Like Thomas Graveson style. Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that's right, isn't it, Dad? Anyway, you know, it probably, in some regards, if we look, and we don't know this yet about the Premier League, whether it will carry on this, the lack of home advantage thing that we've seen in the Bundesliga, but Everton would be one of the teams that would fall into that bracket if that was the case. I guess the only sting in the tail is Ancelotti is a brilliant manager, and he has this has been his focus probably for 3 months now. He has a good record
He must have a real desire to get something from this game after what's happened this season with Everton at Anfield twice. So, you know, he's got a bigger investment in winning this one, I think. Mm-hmm. So that will be interesting. But I agree with Steve. I think the lack of crowd plays into the hands of all the better teams. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the same as the lads there. I think you know that, Paul, don't you? We've had these conversations, but certainly I think it's more interesting for a team who are maybe under the cosh a little bit, because the crowd can G it up there and give you that belief. Whereas it feels like, you know, even in the Man City Arsenal game yesterday, to be honest, I'll draw it back to that because that's a fresher comparison. After about 25 minutes, it just felt like nothing was going to happen other than Manchester City score goals. Yeah. Like, and a new one was coming before half time. Like, and because but there was no crowd there, so Arsenal were just getting back, and there's no even just screaming like "get out!" Yeah. Like 20,000 people behind you just telling your defenders to get out, but they're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And De Bruyne gets on the ball and starts pinging stuff around, and I think that's what Liverpool will do to Everton. I think technically we're much better than them. We don't have that, and as such, we'll just apply pressure. And we'll keep applying pressure until they bend and break, and it's what Pickford does best, isn't it? It's bend and break.
Yeah, I like that. I'm really looking
forward to seeing Bobby anyway. So
yeah, all of them. That's the thing about it, isn't it? Me and Chris did it on the Machen Page podcast the other week. It's saying I got more enjoyment from watching 12-minute highlights of the Blackburn game or whatever, however long the highlights were. I got far more enjoyment out of that than the how many full Bundesliga games I've watched, how many other things I've tried to shoehorn into my life in this time. Just seeing the Reds back is a joy. Now, we're all going to get sucked in soon. You know, as you say, the controversies are fine when they're a novelty at the moment. Let's hope there's no more. Let's hope Hawkeye's switched on and the cameras are all pointing in the right directions for this one. We don't want another disaster like there was at the at Sheffield United, or Villa Park, I should say. But yeah, look, I think we're all just made up to have it back. I'm not going to demand score predictions off anyone because I think it's a very difficult thing to do at this stage.
I know what the score's going to be. Okay. 3-0, Liverpool.
Brilliant. Anyone else?
4.
Go ahead.
I'll go two with I've got a feeling Dibber will score again because he tends to do that against these. You mentioned before, Salah, if he can't play or he's not 100%, he might not risk him, then just throw Dibber in and he'll just score against Everton like he tends to do. So
5-7 against them, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And Jordan Pickford's been a fault for probably 4 of them. I think the like I say, these games now for the end, I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool won all 9. I'll be honest, because I do think the only, obviously City away is a real challenge, obviously, but the better teams are just going to win these games. That's just kind of how my sense is that there's no real levelers other than fatigue, and even then Liverpool should be so much stronger compared to Everton in terms of that. So I think it will be, I think all these games this weekend are going to be strange. I think the teams are going to be knackered. We saw both games Wednesday night where 70-80 minutes in, both teams are dying on their arses. I think that's probably an advantage for Liverpool in the sense that we're fitter and we've got a better squad. I think it's going to be a really, really fun time to watch them for the next however long it is.
Amazing. So listen, everyone. I mean, I want to get ask you, if you're listening to it at home, are you watching at home, crowd noise on or crowd noise off, Steve?
I was crowd noise on at first, but I couldn't get my head around it, so then I went to off soon afterwards. I watched Villa with crowd noise on, and I was thinking, it just didn't make sense in my head. My head was going, hang on, there's giant flags everywhere, and they're singing, come on, Villa. I was like, no, I will watch the first Liverpool home game. I might throw a bit of crowd noise on just to see what songs they decided are good for us. But I can't watch the Everton. I'm not going to sit there watching fake Everton crowd noise. Yeah. There's absolutely no chance.
What about you, Dad? On or off?
Well, I started watching the Bundesliga with it off, and then when it was on, I thought it was much better. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely in favour of it being on. But then when I watched the City game last night, it did seem really false. So I'm not really sure. Well, I'm confused and conflicted.
Wait, mate,
come on. Let me answer the question. I'll be doing a fucking watch-along show with you, Paul. I'll be doing, mate. I'm not having none of this crowd noise when you can have us biased bastards commentating on the game, doing it properly, mate. That's what I'm about. Thank you. You better be there as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the choice is actually yours. You can have crowd noise on, crowd noise off. You can do whatever on commentary, or you can come back to the Red Men TV YouTube channel from 6 p.m. on Sunday. Chris and I are live and socially distanced in the studio, not in that really weird way that Arsenal Fan TV did it. We're going to be doing...
That's a meme forever, by the way.
They modelled that formation on Arsenal's back line.
Oh my God!
The team with David Luiz just 4 yards behind everyone else.
So Chris,
I thought it was Reservoir Dogs revisited 50 years later.
Right. So shut up, all of yous. Listen, Coventry live 6 p.m. Me and Chris. It's unlike. Look, if you've seen the Footy Manager series, it's not going to be quite as extreme as that, but it's not going to be anything quite like what you've seen us do before. It's not going to be a strict watch-along. We are doing a proper... We're going to have a go at doing a proper commentary. There's going to be analysis. There's going to be laughs. We're going to throw some daft things in there as well, as only, you know, me and Chris will do and have done over the last decade of this channel. It is the 10th anniversary of Red Men TV on YouTube, so we thought it was about time that we switched it all up. Do tune in. There'll be more information to come on that. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and you got the notification bell ticked as well. But yes, 6 p.m. Sunday, the Merseyside Derby, fan zone commentary, watch along, me, Chris Pajak. Oh, God, I can't wait. I genuinely can't wait. All I've got to do now is figured out how to set it up. But yeah, great. Thank you, gents. Thank you so much for joining me for this, guys at home. Thank you so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. If you want more from us, then please do go to theredmentv.com and sign up. It helps support everything that we're doing throughout these obviously difficult times. Football coming back, but are still obviously having to work largely from home and still managing to balance all the things that we do. But there's some great content on there. Loads of amazing interviews with Liverpool players, past and present. Most recently, Marcus Babbel. I had a chat to, was absolutely incredible. Sander Vesterveld's there, Jimmy Traore's there. And of course, there's two interviews that we've done previously with Jurgen Klopp as well, and a whole host of other things. Guys, it's amazing. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend. The football is back. We are back, and we'll see you all of you, each and every one of you, 6 p.m. on Sunday. Cheers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.